Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 1, description of the forms of Bhagavan. Okay, page 36. Shamshaya and Purvapaksha. Riti. Srila Jiva Goswami first presents the Mayavadi's misinterpretation of the Bhagavatam verses, where they denote the Shuddha Sattva mode and the material Sattva mode. Oh, as the material. Okay. In considering Shuddha Sattva, some persons give a different meaning to the following. Sattvam rajas tama itisha tavatma bandho maya maya stiti layodhaya hetavosya lila drita yad api sattva mayi prashantya nanye nirinam vyasana moha vyas cha yabhyam. Brahma and Shiva are my forms. Okay. This is their translation or ours?
Some persons get a different meaning. It seems like their.
This is our Bhagavatam.
Oh, that's ours.
This is our Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Brahma and Shiva are my forms. Why do you respect me so much? In answer to this, Markandeya speaks this verse. Even though yad, you accept drita, the pastime produced by your maya, lila. This pastime, which is made of sattva, is for liberation of the jivas, prasantyai, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.8.45. The meaning is made clear in the next verse, which shows the conduct of the saintly persons. O Lord, the wise worship your pure body called Narayana, Shuklam Tanum, and that of Nara, Tavakanam, because the devotees recognize Ushanti, the form of the Lord, Purusha, to be material, to be material, sattva and not rajas or tamas. This is because sattva arises, I guess, from Vaikuntha Loka or something. Though it is a loka, it is without fear and there is enjoyment. It is a joy for the Atma. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.8.46. Priti. Next, Srila Jiva Goswami presents the reasons given by Advaitavadis for substantiating their claim that the Lord's form arises from material sattva and not Shuddha sattva.
That sentence was, this is because from sattva arises Vaikuntha Loka. Though it is a loka.
Yeah, so they consider sattva to be material from which the Vaikuntha Loka arises.
So this is their way
this
of looking
their
at
way
it.
Of interpretation.
Yeah. Okay.
No, this is our verse, and next is going to be their way of interpretation.
Okay.
So these were the verses from
Bhagavad.
These
two verses, they are misinterpreting. That's what it means.
Okay.
This is why it's saying it's clear because sattva. From sattva arises Vaikuntha, so from our point of view means sattva, spiritual sattva, the material.
Okay.
But then they're going to give their explanation.
But it says here, because the devotees recognize the form of the Lord to be sattva, but they're saying material.
Yeah,
so that's why it's not quite clear. Adherents of Advaita philosophy claim the following. The supreme entity is knowledge, devoid of internal difference, without any other factor, either different or similar. In Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, this condition is expressed with the word Advaya. By use of that objective, it is indicated that the unlimited truth does not coexist with any other entity of similar nature. Riti. This is the standard concept of monistic philosophy, where they say the absolute truth, known as Brahman, is unmanifest, an indescribable, subtle form which is not subjected to any change. They claim that there can be no Shakti of Brahman because the Shakti, being another entity, cannot coexist along with Brahman. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why they have problem, and they can't have Shakti Parinamabad. So then, since there is transformation, it's Brahman who's transforming, and that makes all the problem. Right? Now, one point is that by them sticking to this kind of approach, then it makes it very obvious for those who are more serious about the absolute truth, that they can see that it's a serious flaw, right? So they're not really messing with the proper philosophy. Does that make sense? It sets them apart, that they're saying that, no, Brahman is, there can't be another entity, a Shakti, that is transforming, because then Brahman stands on its own. There is no other entity, right? So then from that, when you understand the energies and how it works, you understand that they're it's very flawed, because then Brahman, who's unchanging, they're saying transforms. So it's a very, very contradictory philosophy. But by the modes of nature, they think it's fine. So in that way, it makes it much more easy for the devotees. Like that. But at the same time, as you know, they have a bogus philosophy that they preach.
Because you already consider the particular word Advaya to be, you know, like non-dual. So therefore, only Brahman will exist.
No, that's fine. But the point is then what's transforming? Because it's Brahma Parinambad. That's their philosophy. So they're saying there can't be anything else. It can't transform. It doesn't have this. But it transforms. And you get all these other things that are not Brahman. Even though only Brahman exists, so, you know, they're saying, so that's the thing, it's just from every point it's contradictory. And so it just makes it, if those who are sincere, it's very obvious, and those who are less, they can be bewildered like they are.
And we say that the Vaishnava and the Mayavadi, they never mixed.
Generally they don't mix, why would you want to mix?
So it means if they don't mix, everybody can, they can create a philosophy without any...
Yeah, it means that they're creating on their own. It's by the Lord's arrangement that this philosophy comes up.
Yes.
But the point is even if they do mix, they'll just take... Well, that's why you see is that even though the original philosophy that's been given by Shankaracharya, you see that with time they start changing it until they get to that... What is that one? The jiva? What's that called? The one where it's there's the one jiva that's dreaming all this?
Eka jiva.
You know, because they're trying to answer the points made by the Vaishnavas and how it's wrong. And so they start adjusting. So it just gets more and more weird and more bewildering. So, because they're taking elements that are correct and then misinterpreting them. Right? Because intelligence, you have proper apprehension and misapprehension. Right? It's two functions of the intelligence. So then the difficulty comes up is they are using this misapprehension very, you know, to their own advantage. That's the whole point. They can't perceive it properly because being under the modes, you can't. How can you understand something transcendental from the modes of nature? So that's the thing, is they're so confident of their intelligence. See, that's the difficulty, is people who identify themselves as intelligent, they're at a great disadvantage because they can't accept that understanding is beyond their ability. That's the thing. If they're intelligent, then they take it, I can understand everything. But they can't understand.
What is the benefit that they get because of which they continue in their process?
What does the benefit anyone in the material would get?
Because at least we are getting something, and we are that we're getting much.
But we're devotees.
Yeah, we're devotees.
But for any materialist, what do they get in the material world?
Antikarma.
The whole point is that living entities have come to the material world
to control and enjoy.
Yeah. So then that's that they're just finding something here. They can be God. They couldn't be God as the enjoyer, so they'll be God as the controller. Karmis want to be God as the enjoyer, and they only control as much as they can to enjoy. And the jnanis have figured out I can't enjoy, so I'll just be God. I'll control. That's all. I mean, there is nothing that they're gaining in the material world. None of them, the karmis or the jnanis.
At least we hear the success stories of devotees going back to God. And you know, there's not a single example, you know, which jiva has become Brahman, you know, in India.
Yes, that's there. But the point is being a materialist, they're only interested in that material position. So only if they're more sincere that they actually want to know the absolute truth, then they take up Krishna consciousness. So, that's something? So is this them continuing talking?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so this is all within the Shamshay. Otherwise, existence would be divided up with actions of knowing something internally or externally. The Brahman in scriptures would no longer exist since an agent would appear with senses to undertake action, and Brahman would then become material like an axe. Okay. You can tell they're not from they're farther north, because if they were from the south, they would say a hammer. Right? Yeah. Thus, knowledge or awareness is not endowed with shakti, internal or external distinctions. Right? So, the whole point is they're talking about awareness, but there's nothing to be aware of. They're talking about knowledge, but there's nothing to apply. Right? So it's not complete, their understanding. That God is consciousness, but conscious of what? You know, God is knowledge, but knowledge of what? And what do you do? Because they're saying by knowledge you will attain this position. So knowledge is a medium that does work, right? And by that they attain Brahman. But then if that's happening here, then Brahman, why would that be knowledge? Because nothing is obtained, nothing is done. So why is it that Brahman, being that position where nothing is obtained, nothing's done, they're going to get to Brahman by perceiving things and doing things. Right? You know, it's the same foolishness as the end justifies the means. Right? It doesn't work. Does that make sense? We'll say, okay, we want peace, but we're going to go blow up a whole bunch of stuff. You know, but the problem is, from that, they just create more strife. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, if you want to take an aspect of, means examples of having a, you want peace, and then, because peace is what you want, you're using peace. Right? So Lord Chaitanya shows up at Chankazi's house, want peace, with 100,000 devotees. Like that. And so he can understand as well, maybe, you know, he should give peace a chance, you know, like that. Like that. Or you see Gandhi, you know, then he just, with a peaceful method, he just brings down the government. You know, or Martin Luther King used that peaceful approach, and then it created the change that they were looking for. Not necessarily that change is the solution, but they were trying. You know what I'm saying? But you find that most it's the end justify the means, so they use all bad stuff to counteract bad that someone else is doing. You know what I'm saying? But it's not based on scripture, it's not based on actual understanding. You know? This just makes sense. So the difficulty is here is that they're thinking, I can use this that's improper to get the proper thing. But the point is they're saying that they're becoming Brahman by using the very things that they say, you know, is not Brahman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's like children.
It's like children. Everyone in the material world is like a child. Everyone. Like that. Just that as you get older, then, you know, you're a bigger, you know, child than the others. So then, you know, you're a more experienced child than the other children. You know, it's like the adolescents think that they're so big compared to the other kids. But for adults, they're still kids. You know? So it's the same way as, since you don't have actual adults, means Krishna conscious people or self-realized people, then those who are not, then they consider themselves quite mature. That's all. So it's just that they'll use intelligence, you know, to establish their childness, while someone else will use karma or sense gratification or, you know, somehow false ego or, you know, whatever it is. They'll just take Krishna's opulences and use them to their own advantage. So here, knowledge and renunciation are two of Krishna's opulences. They'll use them for themselves, and what do they get by that? They become God. Right? Someone else uses, let's say, a wealth or beauty or fame, you know, or power to feel like they're God. You know, so they're saying they're different. They're saying they're superior. They may be using on the material platform in comparison to the material to the spiritual, that with knowledge and detachment you can raise yourself to liberation. So they're taking that from scriptures. But there's still, the end result is that they become God. You know, they're going to enjoy Brahmananda. You know, so it's not they're going to become part of God. They are going to be God. That's why Prabhupada said, or was that, yeah, Prabhupada was saying that when the Mayavadi sannyasis meet each other, you know, Om Namo Narayanaya, you know, the Om, yeah, Narayan, Narayan, yeah, all that kind of jazz. Okay. Yeah? Yeah. Yes, becomes Ishwara. Yes, but that's the fun part, is they're going to use the same knowledge to get out of the material world, but it's what's created. But at the same time, is Narayan is what they're shooting for. They call each other other Narayan. They don't call each other Brahman. You know?
And Ram is Saguna Brahman, which means he's Maya.
Yeah, yeah. So then they're Maya. So the thing is the concept that they want to be God. So they're just missing this point that, you know, they say, oh, we become God. But the point is Brahman has come like that. Okay. So now if we're going to take it that Brahman, covered by knowledge, then becomes Ishwara. But that's still an illusion, it's still material, and you have to go beyond that. But at the same time, as by their philosophy, you know, this transformation of Brahman, what's the jiva? Jiva is also just a transformation of Brahman.
Without knowledge.
Yeah, without knowledge. So Brahman covered by avidya, you get the jiva. Brahman covered by vidya, you get Ishwara. So the thing is it's still Brahman. So then what's the problem with being jiva? You know, why do they want to be Ishwara? When both of them are material, both of them are covered Brahman. You understand? Because it's still, you still have to see that element of status and this. They consider themselves that they're the only Vedic sannyasis. They're the only ones that actually, you know, represent the Vedic culture. You know, like that. They say there's all there is. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is there the status thing is there.
Does it mean that according to their philosophy, Bhagavan is the middle stage between jiva and Brahman?
For their process, yes. Because their idea is that being jiva, that they're covered by, it means Brahman's covered by avidya. So then you get the jiva. And then this jiva, then, how you say, then develops, you know, from the scriptures knowledge, you know, and then Brahman, now taking this knowledge, becomes Ishwara. So it's still coming from the jiva. So it's actually jiva's causing all this stuff. Though the point is that, you know, what caused the avidya and how that all comes.
Is the reason of contamination caused by knowledge to possible
food? Yes, that's the whole point. It doesn't make sense. If Brahman by knowledge becomes Ishwara, why is it that them by knowledge would become Brahman? You know, it doesn't make sense.
Why? But in the chemical process, for example, if you add some different things come out. It depends on when you start, what you start with.
Yeah, I don't think that they're looking at it from the chemistry point of view. Oh, no, but the thing is principle here is that if one entity by coming in contact with knowledge becomes material, why is it they would become spiritual by the contact with that same knowledge?
I'm just presenting that counter
arguments. Yeah, but it's just like two materials. How does that make a spiritual? Otherwise, we get two gross materials together in the same room, and then suddenly now they're spiritual. You know?
This can't be changed form, because if, for example, solid ice will become water by adding temperature and then become gas by adding, by again increasing temperature, by adding temperature, we can't make it again solid. It will be more gas. It will go to another.
Oh, okay. So you have to remove.
It means that knowledge can't be reason to become more.
Okay. You understand that? Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Defeated by the chemists. Yeah. Yes.
It looks like that it's not about achieving any goal, but rather just like mental gymnastics most of the time.
It is mental gymnastics. It's the enjoyment of mental gymnastics. Just like the scholar, his enjoyment is the mental gymnastics. That's what they gain from it. Right? Someone else is that they take that knowledge and apply it and get control, like the government, or make money off of that, like the, you know, in the, for the business community, like that. Or there's something you can just you can enjoy from that. Does that make sense? So everybody's getting something from it. So they just, the speculative, it could be this, it could be that, and look at the nice ways it's put together. It's just like, you know, any artist, you know, you put together the colors very nicely or the textures very nicely, and it's impressive. Oh, look at the way he did that. You know, each artist uses the colors and uses the texture differently. And that makes the uniqueness. And, oh, you can get into this and that, and if you put like this, you get this and that. So that's just what gets them going. So with them, it's just a philosophy. You can do this, you can do that, you can do... And that's the fun for them. So that's what they're doing. You know, but the problem is they're saying there can't be a second entity, but then they start talking about avidya, and where did that come from? And then they start about the jiva, you know, and then they talk about the knowledge, and then Ishwara. So all these things are coming from this whole phantasmagoria, from Brahman, but at the same time, Brahman is non-dual and unchanging. So it doesn't make any sense. But someone under the modes of nature, it will make sense to them. You know, just like for a materialist, that I'm going to go out, work hard, make lots of money, and then with that I'll enjoy myself. It makes sense to them. Though, as Prabhu pointed out, and others, you know, no matter where you look, you're not finding anybody who's enjoying. You know, or from the Mayavada, who has attained perfection? Who's the person? Like that. You don't hear about it. So that's the whole point, is that it's just like we say, okay, let us say, you know, from history, okay, who's the person who's famous for being powerful? Right? Or wealthy? Or beautiful? You know, or knowledgeable? Or influential, right? Or renounced, right? We can give names. Can we give a name of someone in history who's famous for being happy? No, there's nobody. So that's the thing. You know, even the Western history, 3,000 years, it's like if you're doing a scientific experiment, you know, you only need like 6 weeks or 3 months to do. You know, unless it's some bigger experiment. But for, you know, so it's like that. Yes.
But they do have in the Book of Nobel Prizes, there's one guy who is considered the most famous person, and he's a Buddhist. I don't know how they measured, but they said that because of his meditation, the hormones and whatever it is produced the maximum, so it means that he was the happiest person. He still died, but he's considered the worst, I heard, of being the happiest person.
I didn't hear, who is it?
He's a Buddhist.
And he got a Nobel Prize for that.
The scientist.
The scientist.
Oh, the scientist who worked out he's the happiest person got the Nobel Prize. So they're making profit off of his happiness.
But they did measure, just for a record, how they did that.
They measured his smile.
Yeah, maybe, something like
no,
that.
They connected wires to his mind.
Oh, okay. So they had a thing that this is called happiness.
Yeah, whatever the hormone is considered to be the
human. Oh, okay.
He wrote many books about suffering.
About suffering.
And his life was full of
so, so different Buddhist.
Do the Yagadi have something like similar to a chinta that I cannot understand?
They'll say things are inconceivable at some point. So it's beyond, means when you push it, they'll say, oh, it's inconceivable. Because it's beyond all that. Because if it's inconceivable, then why would knowledge, which is material, work? If what you're dealing with is inconceivable. The problem is they're connecting things that, according to them, can't be connected.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's the thing. It's inconceivable. It's beyond, but they're using their intelligence. Like you saw the Varanasi sannyasis are saying, why are you avoiding Vedanta? Because
yes.
That's the sadhana. So why, by study of knowledge, you will come to the Brahman platform? You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty. If it's inconceivable, so it's beyond intelligence, why is it that intelligence is going to make it work? And then if they say, oh, but it just brings you near and this and that, and then by there's mercy. But if there's mercy, that means Brahman has qualities. There's some element of person that they're considering you as an individual, and there has to be. So that's the problem is that all of these philosophies are incomplete. So all the Vedic philosophies, they'll be based on Shastra and taking certain aspects, but due to misinterpretation, there's going to be something that's wrong. Because they're not including the Supreme Lord, so they can't have a complete picture. And not having a complete picture, there'll be misunderstanding. You know, because they want to make it logical for, you know, mundane logical. So by the modes of nature, then they'll put it together. So depending upon their modes, they'll put it together in one way or another. You know, so that's why you'll see even amongst the impersonalists, there'll be different kinds of things depending on their modes.
Right. Well, when they say that Brahman is only awareness, consciousness, or knowledge, do they only touch the eternality part of that?
Means they're always talking about the Brahman's eternal.
Yeah, these minds.
No, I'm saying that they always talk about it as eternal. Mm-hmm. As we're saying, eternality and unchanging. These are the two qualities that even a materialist can appreciate about the Supreme. Krishna allows that much to be revealed. To go beyond that, you have to have spiritual understanding. Vritti. Brahman is defined as only mere knowledge by Advaitavadis, because if there is a knower of Brahman, it would mean that Brahman can be interpreted by senses, and hence Brahman is subject to material sense perception. This would defy the scriptural statements which describe that Brahman is beyond sense perception. Right? So they don't understand about, they don't know, see the thing is they don't know about spiritual senses. They don't know about the spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, spiritual form. That's the difficulty. So now they continue. If you propose that the Shakti arises from its Sarup, what is that Shakti of the Sarup? Is it different from or the same as Brahman? You know, see, we can answer very nicely. It's both. If different, how can it be the Sarup? If it is the same, how can it be differentiated as Shakti? Right? Because they can't understand the simultaneous. Even though they have an inconceivable concept, they can't apply it on the spiritual platform. How can this proposed Sarup Shakti, differentiated from Brahman, become Bhagavan endowed with six qualities? Since this one entity is knowledge alone, the Shakti should only be knowledge also. Thus, variety manifesting as some pastime of Brahman cannot be possible. It is not correct to say that actions such as Mahavishnu's glancing at matter take place by Brahman's Shakti, by Brahman endowed with qualities. Right, so the point is if there's just the Brahman, you know, and it's undifferentiated, how can you have Shakti? And if you say they're non-different, then you would only have Brahman, you wouldn't have Shakti. Right? That's their approach. And so then if that's there, how would you get, if it's non-differentiated, how would you, then they'll apply, having said that, now they'll apply that to Shakti and say it's non-differentiated. So then how will you get variety? You know what I'm saying? So they're using chala here. They're taking the definition and proving that there's no Shakti, and then taking Shakti and now giving it the qualities of Brahman and saying, see, it wouldn't work. Like that. But the point is that if there's no Shakti, then how why are they even using that in the argument? Right? Because if they're using our argument, then Shakti is what has all the variety. So then what's the problem with everything here? You know what I'm saying? So it's just that they'll take something and then they'll shift it over and then give the definition to something else and you know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And try to just, wherever it sits, they'll try to use their philosophy to their advantage. Even though they've basically disproven a point of themselves, so then now they'll take it and apply it again in a different way.
Yes.
Quite
determined.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, when someone is attached to something, means they're attached to renunciation, they're attached to liberation. Right? So therefore, then they're going to be very committed to this. You know, they've had bad experience in the material world, so that fires their determination. That's why for the Vaishnavas, you see, is that element of peacefulness and not wanting to argue, because what's to argue about? But if someone argues because I have an opinion, I have an attachment, and so we're arguing over that. But if you don't have anything on the material platform, what's to argue over? And it's just that there's the absolute truth. And so if someone's saying, no, there's this, that, then it's the point is it's wrong. So now it's just a matter of how you explain it to them so that they understand what's right. It's not a matter of it's an argument. You know, because it's not about winning, it's about this is the absolute truth. And so if you understand that, then you'll be able to it's beneficial for devotional service. So what's beneficial for devotional service is moving forward, you know, in the proper understanding and practice. If they have a misunderstanding or you know, misapplication, then it's not favorable for their development. Therefore, then, you know, adjustments are made. So something. Yeah. So there's nothing to argue over. So when the argument generally means that there's some aspect that we're attached to, you know, knowledge or justice or, you know, or even just something that we just want to be right.
Yes.
Or we're getting experience in a certain way that's real for us. If others don't see it that way, you know, why aren't they seeing it how we're seeing it? And you know, just so many.
Also, they give these definitions that they seem to be obvious, but they're actually wrong. Like, for example, since this one entity is knowledge alone, but why is all knowledge it's Satchitananda? He thinks it's not just knowledge.
Yeah.
But they present it like it's, everybody knows it's obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like the standard, like in the Karmi and gossip. You know, say, you know, like, you know, we got to do like that. Why you got to do like that? That's stupid. What do you mean? Everybody knows. There's 7 billion people on the planet are saying, no, this is the thing. Just it means yourself and somebody you've talked to, or you saw something, you know, on the news and somebody said, so yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. That's the thing, is they'll feel that they're different, they're more intellectual. It's because they'll use the same faults in the intellectual field, while someone else will use the same faults in the field of karma. And so the field of jnana being superior to the field of karma, simply because it's closer to getting out of the material world. That's the reason it's there. And it's an opulence of Krishna, but at the same time, as you know, so is influence. You know, that's an application that gets results. So, you know, wealth means that is the result. You know, so the difficulty comes up is that it's just that they're having the same exact faults, but they're applying it in a different field, so it feels like it's something else. But you'll find is that if you can catch the principle, then talking with, you know, with a materialist in karma, it's the same as talking with a materialist in jnana. It's just the one, you know, the cleverness that's there, or, you know, how they deal and stuff like that. You know, the particular etiquettes that are there. Okay, forms of blue and yellow and divisions are forbidden in the highest entity. However, there is a description of the Lord with four arms and glowing colors. How can this be accepted? Right, so here it is, there's description of Brahman, there's description of the Lord, and the description that they're both transcendental. But because they're attached to monism, they can't accept the personal form, even though the Shastra describes both. Right, so the point is, if Shastra is correct, it's describing both. Therefore, it must be both of these aspects are there. There is Bhagavan and there is Brahman. You know, and then it's a matter of seeing what's the connection there. Does that make sense? How can there be particular objects and clothing, details of Vaikuntha and individual jivas who are aware of this, who are all similar to the Lord? One must accept this appearance in the Supreme to be as impossible as keeping an elephant clean after a bath. The Shakti, which is perceived as effect, is false, being neither Brahman nor something other than Brahman. Right? So now here they're saying, now they've just thrown out this one indifference. And now they're using it as to establish their own argument. Right? Yeah, so
they're saying
that. Yeah. That means, yeah, these are all, that means now as we're throwing in things in the vritti, because then, you know, just so we know what's kind of have an idea. But then it'll come up with, the next page will be the uttara.
Mm. Right. Huh?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense, whatever they're saying. See, they intellectually don't make sense. You know, it's just like, that just like in the realm of intellectual, they use all these fancy words like that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it means anything different. It's not that it's more intellectual to use the bigger word. It's still the same. If it's a valid point, it's valid whether you use fancy words or simple words. And if it's not a valid point, it doesn't matter by using fancy words. It doesn't now make it better. But at the same time, as you can see, the same thing goes on in the realm of karma. Like corporate jargon, you know, they can sit there and talk about all this stuff, how everything's falling apart, and talking about how, you know, it's just, you know, a step forward, you know, like that. Yeah, it's just they're good at that. So it's the same thing. You're just giving different interpretations to things using, you know, like this. The Shakti, which is perceived as effect, is false, right? Because they've said there's only Brahman. Being neither Brahman, because it can't be Brahman, because Brahman's unchanged, nor something other than Brahman, because there's only Brahman. So this being one and different, they've just established themselves, but Shakti can't be something like this. You know, they defeated it before, you know, throwing it out before, and now they're using it. It does not arise from the Sarupa Brahman. When qualities are attributed to Brahman, they are merely metaphorical. Jahad Ajahal Lakshana. Footnote 12. Part of the meaning remains and part is destroyed. Right? So part of it remains. It means the part that is going to be destroyed they use for the argument, you know, to have some meaning, but the part that they're going to destroy is the part that's working. You know, because Brahman is unchanging, doesn't work for anything in their philosophy. So they have to use all the attributes and everything, though they say Brahman has no attributes. You know, so that's the difficulty. You know, that's why it says Shankaracharya came and bewildered them. Otherwise, how is it that people who are smart would accept this stuff? It's because Shankaracharya was empowered to be able to bewilder them. Why? Because they want to be bewildered. They don't want the absolute truth. So they like the realm of knowledge, the realm of detachment, so then they like to, you know.
A friend of mine, he's the lot, he's teaching philosophy in university.
Okay.
In Europe. So he told me that he has to teach Maya about philosophy, advice about it. And he said that the reaction of the students is that it doesn't make sense, this philosophy. Advaita Vada, Mahavada philosophy for modern intellectual people, it just doesn't make any sense. They cannot relate to it, it's illogical.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the thing. You just present it, so this is what they're saying, you see, then it doesn't make any sense. Okay. But somehow or another, they like it to make sense. Right? You could hear? No? He was saying is that he has a friend who teaches at the university in Europe, and they're teaching, because in the course they have to teach Mayavad philosophy. And when they go through it, you know, show it just logical what they say, it doesn't make any sense. So the students say it doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. You know? Because if there's no attachment for it, it's automatically illogical. You know, it's just like something you don't have an attachment, something you have an attachment for to you is so logical. But your friend who has no attachment for him, he just goes, this is stupid. Don't you see? You know, like this, that, no, it's this, that. You know, so that's what's happening. So if we're ever wondering, how can they say this, why this, that's because they're just attached, that's all. Right? Knowledge and detachment is also an attachment.
That makes sense. And now you can be, it is a very, very big attachment.
Yes, it's a very big attachment. You know, it's very big. But you could say it's a piety, because you're dealing less, let's say, with the material energy,
yes,
you know, in the way of the general distractions and focusing on the absolute. But the problem comes is that because of their attachment, they can't actually see the absolute truth properly. You know, so that's the difficulty. Yes?
According to the philosophy, Brahman covered by... Vidya becomes Jiva and Brahman covered by Vidya becomes Bhagavan.
Yes.
It means they covered by two different energies. And in this case, how for return to become Brahman, they want to become Bhagavan at first. Because it's a different way.
Yeah, it's a different, if it's a different path. Because actually, if you as a, that's a good point. You know, so the point is that if through avidya, then you become jiva, then you would want to reverse that and go back to Brahman. It would have nothing to do with, Brahman covered by jnana becomes Ishwara. Why is it they want to be Ishwara? Or why do they refer to each other as Ishwara? You know, as Narayana. Because their path is different. So how they become Brahman is one thing. And how Ishwara goes back to being Brahman, that's Ishwara's problem. But they don't, because they want to be Ishwara. That's the whole thing. You know, they talk about Brahman, but actually they want to be Ishwara. Yes.
Because they have to throw in Ishwara, because the Jiva and Brahman doesn't have anything in common.
Okay.
So that's why they have to come up and have an Ishwara in between, so that they can become Brahman.
Otherwise, so they become Ishwara, then they become
then
Brahma.
They become Brahma.
So they're taking it.
It's a connecting point. Ishwara is interconnecting point between Brahma and
but
Jiva.
But Ishwara is not in between.
Yeah, but she's saying it's two different lines. One is coming from knowledge, one's coming from ignorance. So therefore, the intermediate place between the Jiva and Brahman is avidya.
Yes.
So they should become avidya to then become Brahman. By there. But they're taking Ishwara's platform that you become knowledge and then you become Brahman. So it's not their path.
It's illogical, but the intent behind introducing is this. So everything makes sense for them.
Obviously, it all makes sense for them because they're taking Ishwara as, because it's better to be Ishwara than, it's better to be Ishwara and then become Brahman than to become pure ignorance and then become Brahman. Like that.
You have 2 pages of description.
Of this, it's coming up.
What they want to say.
Yes, okay.
We gave them their time also to express what they want to say.
Okay, so you're using Lord Chaitanya's path that you let them speak and all that, and then after you speak.
After she was also.
Yes, okay. Yeah, because it actually works. If you can keep, you can see is how Lord Chaitanya works, how the acharyas work, is that the person talks and says whatever they're going to say, and you can start to see as they start repeating, they only have certain things to say. While they say something stupid, and then you come in and say something, then they'll repeat it again slightly differently, and so it takes longer. But to do that, to wait, means you have to have patience. You know, which comes by the devotional process. You know? So if you wait, they said everything, there isn't anything else to say. And then you can start questioning on the things because they have said what they want to say. You know, so it's actually an easier process, but it takes more good qualities to be able to use.
The person is more qualified and more time you have to wait. For Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it's 7 days.
Yeah, he waited 7 days. Yeah, because he has more to say. And then once he said, then that's it. He has nothing more to say. So he says, could you understand like that? You said nothing for 7 days. Like that. And I take it, this is 7 days straight. You know, day and night. You know, so it's like, it's not that they went and took a nap and had dinner and stuff like that.
I think they were doing it in the evenings.
Only in the evenings. Oh, well, that's a little better. Okay. Yes.
So, what is their position? How Shastras came is? What is their way? They are referring to Shastras.
Oh, where did Shastras come from? Where did Shastra come from? If it's the authorities? My bodies are basing on the Shastra. But and the whole point is that that's explaining, but where did the Shastra come from?
The regular Shastra, it's only their interpretation. That's how they are also included in Vedantists, because they only misinterpret the verses the same. But it's there how they see the verses.
No, we're not talking that. That's clear. He's just saying, what's the origin of the Shastra according to their philosophy? Because we're saying it's coming from the Lord, it's breathing. And so what do they say? Because then it's coming from something that's not Brahman, because there can be no transformation. So how would this literature get you to Brahman? And why would you? How would you know if this literature is coming from the material? How do you know that it's not wrong? You know, that's how you get Buddhism. If you go too far, then it's just you have to throw out everything, so there's nothing left, and then you just have Buddhism. Though, because they're conditioned, they have to have religion, so then they'll create their own philosophy and process. That's the thing, is the conditioned soul has to have religion. Because they have to have an identity, they have to have knowledge that can be applied in the process that will get them a result. So even if you get rid of everything that's there, they'll create their own. You know, it's just like, let's say, Christians, they get rid of Judaism. They've created their own whole philosophy and religion out of nothing. You understand? So it's that you'll always get that. Someone throws out one philosophy, they'll create another one. You know, so in the politics, you get rid of one group, the next group comes in, does exactly the same thing. So on the conditioned platform, you can't go beyond it without transcendence, without knowing Krishna. You can't go without devotion. You can't go beyond. You have to function. So they will create their own. Because even if here, if it's illusion, somehow or another it's going to be put in their books as the illusion that works. But everybody else using it, then they'll just be an illusion. You know, because they're special.
Kumar, for them, the Shastra is infallible for the Mayavadis, because they are the ones who defeat everybody else who says something other than Shastra being infallible.
Yes, yes.
So for them, it's part of Brahman.
Well, it's part of Brahman. But the point is how do we have the words? Since words, you can't describe words in Brahman in words.
That's all are answered later.
Hmm?
It's all coming up later.
Okay. Yeah.
So I remember Lord Shiva in Radharani Kripa Kataksha. He said, and from the Vedas and the Shastra, the mother is Srimati Radharani.
The?
From the Shastra and the Veda, the mother is Srimati Radharani.
I didn't catch that word. Mother?
Mother.
Mother.
Mother, okay. Mother. Musa. Okay, yeah, no, I just had too many.
And,
okay.
After he said, she's the. From her come from the law of the universes, and from her Zainblatt.
Ankle bells.
Ankle bells. The sound who go out is the Veda person.
That's right. So when gopis are dancing in rasa dance, then the sound of that is the Veda. Okay. Let him chew on that one.
Yeah, our sound is better.
Huh?
Our sound is
a lot better.
I'm just trying to understand what is the problem with these 60,000 people.
60,000
sannyasis who are getting misled, or is it just their intention is wrong to be controller angel, or what is the wrong with them so that they are bewildered?
They don't want to accept the Lord and surrender to the Lord. Their problem is the same as every living entity in the material world.
But I also have the same mentality, but I have getting the understanding of God. So why they are not getting? So what is that?
Because they don't want.
Okay, so that's
like that. That's all. The living entities want to be in the material world and control it.
And we want to justify it too. So we want to feel like we're doing the right thing.
Yes, yes. So then they justify. So they have a fancy philosophy. They justify, you know, very technical philosophy. Others have a simple, you know, I'm just being practical. And that's the extent of their philosophy. I'm not fanatic. You know, and that's it. There's no more philosophy. You know. So just that they're very, that's all they do all day is think philosophy. So it's a little bit, takes a little long. It takes 45 minute pages to get rid of it.
So now it's only for sannyasi.
Yeah. Okay, Jalad Ajahal Lakshana, part of the meaning remains, part is destroyed, can be used to identify Bhagavan, qualities in Bhagavan being merely figurative, with the term Advaya Jnana, Brahman with no qualities. Right? So they're going into the Bhagavan and then saying the non-different, but at the same time as they're saying they're different. So you see, as always, whatever you're going to do in all philosophies, when you deal with it, they're going to have to deal with the Chintaveda-Veda Tattva. But they don't know it's Chintaveda-Veda Tattva, so they're not accepting it. But they'll still all use it. It means all philosophies have to use the Chintaveda-Veda Tattva to establish themselves, because it is the philosophy. Right? Within the Vaishnav context, even use a part of it, because a part of the complete whole is still complete. Right? And so therefore, with these four Vaishnava philosophies, it still will establish transcendence. Right? But even but still within it, you'll see that they're discussing things that are Chintaveda-Veda Tattva.
Yes.
But they don't necessarily bring that out.
Yes.
Right? And then the materialist will have to do the same thing. Right? Riti. The Mayavadi's philosophy is to negate the material engagement of the jiva caused by the three modes of material nature by stopping all material activity. Because the Mayavadis don't possess any idea about the transcendental abode and activities of the Supreme Lord, they are bewildered to think that Brahman, having qualities and form, would make him material, also material, and so they misconstrue that Brahman should come under the material mode of sattva in order to accept a form, and all the transcendental qualities of Brahman described in the scriptures are mere imposition on him. So even you say all these qualities on Brahman, because they're all the qualities are used in connection with Bhagavan. But they'll be taking that the representation of Brahman as Ishwara. Then these are just an imposition, because Brahman doesn't have any of these qualities. Mm-hmm. Right? So because they have no idea about the spiritual world. Yeah. That's the main. The main fault there, because we have to understand is that if you're dealing with trying to take someone a step forward, the step is based on the previous position. So you have to be able to show the position they're in, show the context to the next step, and then by that connection take them there. Does that make sense? So therefore, the Buddhists, being on one platform, you know, of nothingness, then you're going to start from that nothingness, and you're going to take them a step forward to accepting that nothingness based on the Vedic scriptures instead of their own made-up scriptures. Right? But that's all the farther Shankaracharya was supposed to take them. Right? So that's what he did. Yes.
Oh, when we touch a person, we sink by nothing at the place for bringing some shastra. So, is it possible to preach a Mayavadi using that?
Well, the Mayavadis, they have the shastra to go by, so that's the common ground. And then from there, you have to find which aspects they can relate to and take it forward. For the Buddhists, then they don't have the philosophy or the culture like that. And of the two, the religious aspect is easier to get across, because it's obvious, you can see it, people will take it. Does that make sense? So it's easier to bring them in, because the practices and all that of the Vedic culture are all nice, but you just bring it under the Vedas. Right? And it's not that much of a thing between a nothingness and an unlimited, you know, changeless, you know, light of nothingness. You know, so they've only shifted the philosophy just a touch, but the evidence for that and the lifestyle of that, then they brought it back into the Vedas. So that's a major aspect. So Uttara. Riti. Srila Jiva Goswami systematically refutes all the arguments of the Advaitavadis one by one by first proving that Shakti is intrinsic quality of any object for it to act as the cause. Right, because that was their first point, is throwing out Shakti. Sri Vaishnavas explain as follows. Even the Advaitins must accept that Brahman, the entity situated in his Sarup, has his Sarup Shakti, which is one with the Supreme Entity. It is necessary in order to display the effect known as the universe. Without it, there would be impossibility of liberation, since a jiva in the universe could not be distinguished from Brahman. Right? So they want liberation. That means you have to be able to distinguish the jiva from Brahman. That means the universe has to be there. Right? And for you to get liberation, you have to exist. Right? And then for you to get liberation from the universe, it needs to exist. And so therefore Shakti has to exist, that then is transforming, and then you get the material world.
Mm-hmm. So even if the material world is an illusion, as they say, still it has an origin.
It has an origin.
And this origin must be the law.
Yes, because otherwise if everything's Brahman, it has to come from there. Because they're saying on another place that it's there, but they want to get rid of Shakti. Because Shakti then means variety. And then if Brahman has Shakti, that means there's variety, there can be spiritual variety. And they're afraid of, they're like the cow in the barn, right? And there's a fire. So anytime they see red, they become afraid. So because they've seen form and activities and relationships here, and that's given them a bad experience, then in their mind, then the spiritual can't have any of that, because spiritual is supposed to be the opposite. It's supposed to be, you know, ananda. So ananda means no forms, no activities, no relationships. So that's their attachment. Their attachment is that they're afraid of these relationships, right? Because they've had trouble from that. Therefore, then this is what causes the trouble. Getting rid of all that, that is what makes you happy. So the whole philosophy is based on becoming happy, right? It's still a material happiness because you're removing the problem. It's not a positive happiness. It's still material because the problem is material variety and attachment. So remove material variety and attachment, then you'll be happy. So it's still not ananda. They'll call it ananda, of course. You have to. It sounds better. Shakti is a particular quality of an object necessary for accomplishing its effects. Shakti should be considered to arise from the sarup when the object acts as material cause, upadana, and efficient cause, nimitta. Otherwise, the object becomes meaningless as the cause which should give rise to its various effects. Even in Vivartavad, shell is accepted as the cause for the illusion of silver, right? There's still something there. They're still saying, no, it's an illusion. But still, there's a cause for that illusion. Right? So if we're saying that the material world is an illusion, there's a cause for that illusion. That has to be the energy. Right? And so that means it has to come from Brahman. Because if we're taking it, there's nothing other than Brahman. Shakti must be non-different from Brahman. Otherwise, their philosophy has no meaning. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Brahman and nothing else is the cause of the universe. Thus, the Shakti of the Lord Sarup must be accepted. Is Brahman the cause of illusion? If it is not, the illusion must arise from ignorance. But then, is this not accepting something other than Brahman, while you maintain that only Brahman exists? If Brahman is the cause of illusion, it must be concluded that pure Brahman, the shelter of knowledge, has Shakti. Right? Because if you're saying it comes from ignorance, where is the ignorance coming from? Everything has to come from Brahman. Therefore, ignorance is a Shakti of Brahman. Or you get Ishwara. Knowledge is a Shakti of Brahman. So all the qualities that are attributed to Brahman aren't as what was the word they used? Figurative. They're actually real. So Brahman has Shakti, but it's generic. That's why you can get the unlimited variety here, because it's just a generic thing. Then you have the specifics. Does that make sense? It means Brahman has qualities. It means Shakti. Like that. But nothing's manifest. That's why it's said non-differentiated. Just like Pradhan, it has all the 24 elements, but they're non-differentiated. It's just all homogeneous. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then by the Lord's glance, or by his desire, then we see the elements manifest. So in the same way as that the material, all the elements are there, all the Shaktis are there, but then when the Lord desires, then they transform. That makes sense. So he only deals with his internal potency. And the external potency is the transformation of the internal. So you're getting all the variety, but it's still a reflection of the original. Does that make sense? Okay. Footnote 13, Vriti. Though the Advaitavadis accept that only Brahman existed before material creation, they persist on their thought that Brahman is not subject to any internal and external changes. Thus, they fail to explain the cause of the material creation because they consider the material creation to be an illusion but cannot explain how this illusion has come about. They'll say something, this and that, but it makes no sense. You know, as Prabhu was saying, you explain this to thoughtful persons, then they'll say it doesn't make sense. Right? If they say Brahman is the cause, then they must accept that Brahman has an inherent Shakti, because without possessing an inherent Shakti, no object can produce an effect. Right? There must be a Shakti there to perform, to produce an effect. Right? So you don't get an effect without something there before it. Right? Does that make sense? So it has to be applied. That's the whole thing. So Shakti must exist. Brahman must have Shakti. So, hence, if Brahman is accepted as the cause of visual, perceivable material creation, then one must accept it as Shakti. Hence, the stand that Brahman is mere knowledge without possessing any Shakti is not acceptable, because knowledge itself is also a Shakti. That's the thing that they're not taking. Eternity is a Shakti. Right? But they're not catching these things. That's too, you know what I'm saying? Yes.
Can you say that the six qualities of
Vagabhandi
are
Shakti? Yes. They're all Shakti. They're all opulences.
So in this way they contradict the very beginning of Vedanta Sutra, that Brahman is the origin of all.
Yes. Because that's the thing, is that because they're not accepting the Shaktis, that's why they can't deal with it. If they would just accept that Brahman has Shakti, then it could answer all their questions. Like that. And show them how there is beyond just the Brahman platform. You know, the Supreme Brahman. So that's the difficulty, is they're unable to, because of this one point. So it just makes no sense, because for something to transform, then there must be a potency for that to happen. Right? Like that. So that they can't explain. So you could say, is that's the one point in their philosophy. That's the core point, is this whole thing about Shakti. You know, and then from that they get all kinds of strange, you know, deviations, and all those would be dealt with. But it's that if you go back to, it's the Shakti, this non-acceptance of Shakti, and understand how something, for an object to do something, there must be an energy between, because the object is there, the effect is there, there has to be something in between. Right? Does that make sense? So there must be Shakti. Yes.
Prabhupada, right, he points out that for the Mayavadis, they accept the Lord but not Shakti. And for the scientists, they accept Shakti but
not the Lord. Yeah, no, that's right. But, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It's why they don't see the movement of the life. The person who are Mayavadi or materialist, they don't see the relationship that everybody change all the time, that it's dynamic, the life. Then you have our conscience is dynamic, is a movement, and it's full of Shakti.
Yes. So there's there. Even the jiva is doing things. There's a little bit of Shakti there. Most of it's provided by the Lord, but there's some there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They accept the
existence of it, but they somehow or another they can't show the connection to Brahman. See, that's the point, is Brahman is there, avidya is there, and then the jivas are there, right? And then you have the whole material phenomena. Like that. And then, because the jiva desires to enjoy that phenomena, then from that arises the knowledge of how to work with the phenomena. Then, now, Brahman, accepting that, it takes it even more fun. Then, Brahman, accepting that knowledge, then becomes Ishwara. Right? So, because we were, before, Mataji was making the point that it's two different lines. But in here is that the point of how you get knowledge is actually from the jivas. They're the cause of the knowledge. So then, for the jiva to become Ishwara is actually going backwards. Because forward would be to become avidya. You know what I'm saying? So it's even worse. So why would you want to be Narayan? Jiva's in a better position according to their philosophy.
Later he points out, Jiva Goswami, that their philosophy is infinite regression. You ask, okay, there is Brahman, there is Jiva, how he becomes, how he'll become, you know, then there is something called avidya, they say. You ask, catch them on that, how this comes and so forth, because there is something else,
and
which is the
cause
of it, and it keeps going on.
Yeah.
Then if you avoid the point.
They're just, yeah, they're just avoiding the point.
Means the main point which they missed
that the problem comes, you have the jiva, then you have the avidya. But now where does the avidya come from? That they don't know. That's when they'll say it's inconceivable. Because it's, you're dealing with Brahman, it's beyond, like that. Okay, that's beyond. But then you see this here, what's the connection? There must be some connection. So that's the point, is they deal in all these ways, but they can't make that connection. So
Maharaj, just tracking what you said about this one point that they cannot accommodate. It's just like, you know, you tell a lie, somebody tells a lie, one lie, and then in order to maintain this one lie, you just come up with so many other
weird. Yeah, it's like you have short people with, I say, with curly hair on their toes, and then you have to come up with three books to explain it. Well, no one said the illusion was that well done. Yeah.
Actually, then the main aspect of Shankara's philosophy is the theory of imposition. So what they say, answer to all these questions is there, the theory of imposition, which we'll discuss.
Well, come on. That's being imposed. But then the problem is to impose something that's still an energy.
Their idea is to avoid somebody asking questions.
Okay, so their defense is that say something that you don't ask questions anymore. Yeah. Well, it's a good system. You know. If you can use it, you know, especially it's like you see the acharyas, when you go into an area that's not worth talking about, they'll say, make a point that you just stop asking. Like that. Not that there's not an answer, it's just not worth discussing. Or, you know.
These points are there before, but the theory of imposition is where Shankara has become the most prominent.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise the points are there, even with Buddhism and impersonalism, it's almost similar, except the words they use, nirvana and then asa.
It's always been there. There's always been impersonalists. Like Dattatreya, I think, was considered an impersonalist. So there's always that position. It's just you don't have the Maya bodies where it's all illusion. Because before, impersonalism just meant that you only knew Brahman. Yes.
I want to make the same point. So all of them are actually voidish. So they are all Buddhist. So the same thing is to make them understand and connect to the scriptures.
Yes. Yes.
Because they are already there.
Yes.
So that's why you see their nature is of voidism. And so they always connect to something else. But Shankaracharya has intelligently done of connecting to the sastra.
Okay.
So in every Shruti you see that Brahman, Brahman, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that. So that they will be connected to the Brahman, and if they realize all the essence of the Vedas, then they may become Vaishnava.
Mm. Yes, step by step.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrindavan ki.